Well, before we start on item L, I know Ron has something to say regarding our last agenda item K. Ron?
Well, thank you, Chief. The credit and kudos for CCPOR, I think we spread around nicely with a couple of exceptions. One, it came out of Orange County. I mean, that was the brainchild, was Orange County Superior Court. So Alan Carlson, Alan Slater, Snorri Ogata were instrumental in that, and it was really them showing their system to Justice Kay, who is the chair of our domestic violence task force that really generated this statewide system, and Justice Kay insisting that this is going to happen and how important it was. So thanks to Orange County Superior Court and to Justice Kay.
Thank you, Alan. Next is item L, the California Court Case Management System, and we have presenting Justice Berniers and also Judge Herman and Mark Moore. Thank you.
Good morning, Chief, members of the Council. CCMS is a boondoggle. CCMS is a fiasco. These are the statements that have been made by some of our colleagues and eagerly repeated in the media. After all, government waste is always a good story. I don't think I've ever seen an article in any of the media about CCMS that doesn't include the words troubled or beleaguered or some other similar adjective. The problem is that while those claims may fit some agendas, they simply don't fit the facts. The Oxford Dictionary defines a boondoggle as a trivial, useless, or unnecessary undertaking, a wasteful expenditure. A fiasco is defined as an ignominious failure. There's nothing trivial, useless, or unnecessary about CCMS. We started this project with both executive and legislative urging because we were, and as you've heard this morning, still are, spending millions of dollars each year across the branch to support and maintain a multitude of aging and failing case management systems that do not and cannot meet the needs of our trial courts. You could not have heard a better example than you heard about the situation in San Joaquin County this morning. The majority of our systems are the legacy of an era prior to state funding and prior to trial court consolidation. We still have over 70 different case management systems with about 130 different variations. Most courts still have different case management systems for different case types. Our systems do not communicate with each other, even within a court, much less between courts. And they certainly do not communicate with our justice partners or provide interaction with the public. They tie us to paper-based case processing. Almost none provide for electronic filing. CCMS will dramatically change that. CCMS includes electronic filing, integration with justice partners, electronic calendars, self-service case inquiries, self-service payments, and will revolutionize the way we do business. The system will improve the processing of cases and transform court operations with a branch-wide electronic document management system. It will integrate with our fiscal systems and will automate the kind of fine, fee, and assessment calculations that you've heard are so difficult to accomplish for our courts. The transition from paper to electronic processing of documents will result in cost and operational efficiencies across all courts. CCMS will improve public safety and the quality of justice rendered in our trial courts by providing the public, attorneys, judges, and litigants with access to current and accurate case information. As you've also heard this morning, CCPOR is based on CCMS technology. Nor can anyone say that our development costs for CCMS, which, again, despite other numbers you may have read, is about $319.1 million for both V3 and final V4 development, is a wasteful expenditure. We developed CCMS based on user requirements directly defined by the trial courts and not by the AOC. We have now successfully completed our product testing, again with trial court subject matter experts confirming that the system meets those requirements. And while some have questioned the cost and the money we've spent here, I believe that it is entirely consistent with similar projects of this size and scope, including, for example, the statewide system developed and implemented by the Department of Child Support Services. I've been told that the development cost for the DCSS system was approximately $350 million, and that covers a single case type. And despite claims to the contrary, there has never been a single cost overrun in this project. And the only change orders to the Deloitte development contract were made at our request as we defined the user requirements and the scope of work for each component and phase of this development. As I have said before and said again yesterday, we should do a thorough and independent retrospective review of our development process and our contract management for CCMS. As the BSA audit revealed, there are clearly things we could have done differently and things we could have done better and now are doing better. We have responded to and incorporated all of the recommendations made by both the BSA and by the California Technology Agency. But in all the criticisms and critiques of CCMS, no one, including the BSA, has ever identified even $1 that has been misspent or wasted. Is CCMS an ignominious failure? Well, it's difficult to see how anyone could fairly arrive at that conclusion. Not only have our own testers confirmed the system meets our requirements, but the independent third-party verifications requested by the legislature and this council have concluded that CCMS will perform as designed once it is deployed into a production environment. As of this morning, all CCMS product development has now been completed and successfully completed. Mark and I were on our regular Friday morning conference call with Deloitte, went through a review of all of the CCMS deliverables. Almost, if not all of them, are now in our possession. All components of CCMS, including our GPSA statistical reports, have passed the product acceptance testing. And if you recall, our criteria for acceptance were zero level one defects, zero level two defects, and no more than, was it 15 on level three? 15 on level three. We are at 0, 0, 0 on those defects. So it works. The third-party reports, which have been presented to the council and you've had an opportunity to review now, did identify some gaps, some opportunities for improvement in our processes going forward. They did not identify any problems, any issues, any risks with the CCMS product that we have developed. We have responded to the recommendations. We specifically asked K3, who had been retained to do the analysis of the product quality, to respond to and to develop action plans for both Deloitte and for the AOC, for our project management office going forward. And that action plan has now been completed. It's been delivered. I have not had an opportunity to see it yet. I'm going to be reviewing it later today, and I'll be presenting it to our governance committee for its approval and acceptance probably early next week. So we will be meeting with Deloitte on Wednesday of next week. Judge Herman and I will be there. We'll sit down with Deloitte. We'll go over the lessons learned in this development process with Deloitte. We will share those results with our governance committees. We will share them with the council. I also would note that Judge Glenn Reeser, who has been, as he characterizes himself from time to time, the test pilot for CCMS, yesterday went through the performance testing of CCMS simply to confirm that the system met the speed requirements to allow it to operate in a courtroom environment, that it met all of its criteria and confirmed that it does. We will be doing some additional testing with judicial officers, usability testing to make sure that we have the system configured in a way that will allow us to do our business with the system in a courtroom environment. That should be coming up over the next couple of months, probably early December. But the bottom line is we now have a product that meets our requirements, that will do what it was designed to do. The question is how we take advantage of this critical asset and our investment in it, particularly in a time when every resource we have is more than strained to the limit. But I would also point out, as you heard this morning from other courts, this is not a question of whether we spend money on case management systems. The Grant Thornton study, which was done for the branch, confirms we have 47 courts that need updated and modern case management systems or will need them over the next couple of years. We will spend a minimum of $342 million just to replace existing systems with existing functionality without any of the interface with our justice partners, without any of the ability to do what the CCPOR will do, without any of the abilities to integrate with our fiscal systems and to allocate our fines, fees, and assessments. So we can choose to spend money for inadequate systems, stopgap systems, Band-Aid systems, or we can spend the money on a system that we designed for our purposes and that will meet the needs of the branch, not just today, but into the future. We cannot make effective use of CCMS without first deploying it to the early adopter courts, both to blueprint the processes we need and to ensure that we identify and correct any problems within the developer's warranty period. As I said, we will be accepting the CCMS product probably next week. Deloitte has now given us the deliverables that they are required to provide under the contract. Under our present contractual agreement, the warranty period commences 8 months from the date of acceptance and extends for a period of 1 year beyond that. In my view, it is critical that we have CCMS in deployment in at least one court and hopefully more than one court during that warranty period to confirm what we believe to be the case and to address any possible issues that may arise during that period of time. We need to establish the enterprise environment that will allow us to add courts to the system. We'll then have the tools and the experience required to make CCMS quickly available to those courts with immediate and critical need and to let us start modular case-type deployments to those courts which have the desire and the ability to use them. At the Council's July and August meetings, we were asked to return and present alternatives for deployment that would allow activities to move forward within our current budget constraints and which would mitigate the impact of our budget reductions and the risks that are inherent in delay. And make no mistake, delay costs money. If we delay deployment and implementation, we clearly incur greater costs in subsequent years and greater time and inefficiency in trying to start the process all over again. Mark Moore and his project management office staff have worked extremely hard to make maximum use of the resources left to us and to present plans that would allow us to do at least a full implementation in at least one court, that would be San Luis Obispo, and at least partial implementation in at least one other, Ventura. At the Council's request, we prepared several alternative proposals, most of which relied only on branch funding, as well as service credits that we were entitled to receive from Deloitte resulting from some delay in completion, and which would make effective use of our product warranty with go-live dates in early 2013. As you heard yesterday, however, another option recently became available to us and presents, in my view, a unique and historic opportunity that allows us to do significantly more in a collaboration with a private nonprofit foundation and with the assistance and support of the State Bar. The Chan Soon-Shiong Foundation has been a major contributor to efforts to establish a national information grid for healthcare services and medical research. They have contributed or pledged close to $1 billion to these efforts. Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong, who established the foundation with his personal wealth, is an immigrant and a self-made billionaire who will tell you that he can only accomplish what he's been able to accomplish in a country like this, and who appreciates what CCMS can provide for the citizens of this state. The foundation has offered contributions of cash, technical expertise, and technology assets for CCMS deployment, and the foundation is committed to helping us complete deployment in the early adopter courts in not only San Luis Obispo and Ventura, but also to include the Fresno Superior Court and to help us retire the V2 legacy criminal and traffic systems in Fresno with the resulting savings of approximately $6 million a year. We're also extremely gratified that the state bar has recognized the importance to our justice system of implementing CCMS and has expressed its interest, as you heard yesterday, in assisting and supporting this effort. Our early adopter courts, while anxious about their own constrained resources, are also anxious to move forward. And we have presiding judge from San Luis Obispo, Steve Crandall, here, and CEO from Ventura, Mike Planet, present. I'm going to ask them in a moment to simply tell you what they're prepared to do and what CCMS means to their courts. The local justice partners in San Luis Obispo have made financial commitments and resource commitments to this project and are now waiting to see if we're prepared to meet our commitments. These are the essential and critical first steps needed to confirm our readiness for broader deployment and to set up the systems and establish the processes that we need to do so. I know that some members of the council have heard from Judge Crandall and Mr. Planet before, but there are some here on the council who have not. So I would ask Judge Crandall if he could step forward for a moment. You've heard that multiple courts have immediate and critical need for CCMS. You know that we had to replace system in Nevada County last year. You know that Solano County had to replace, or Sonoma County, rather, had to replace their systems in the last year. And Judge Crandall represents one of the courts with immediate and critical need.
Thank you, Justice Breniers. Good morning, Chief, members of the council. So you're probably thinking, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, here he goes again. He's going to repeat what he said in July, but I'm not going to, actually. A couple of footnotes before I get to the main thing I want to say. The auditing issue has particular significance to us as well in San Luis Obispo because we made what amounted to a $200,000 mistake with some of those local revenues and not getting them in the right bucket. And you'll probably see us back up here sometime in the next couple of months seeing if we can get it replenished because it was an awful mistake. It was done. It was inadvertent, and we got penalized heavily. With CCMS, it wouldn't have happened. Also, I think the technology award that you just saw speaks volumes about why it's practically important and we need it. So let me go to San Luis Obispo. As I told you in July, we have a very unreliable system. It costs about $1 million a year to operate. The model that we're going to implement, if you let us, of CCMS is very simple and cost-effective. We're not going to do data conversion. It's a standard configuration, and it's a model, most importantly, that's easily replicated because our courts, in terms of filings and whatnot, represents the same numbers as more than half of the courts in the state. What I didn't tell you in July, or if I did, I didn't say it loudly enough, is how enthusiastic our staff is, even in these budget times. They're counting on this. Our staff has tested it. And I have to tell you parenthetically that it really isn't about the judges so much as it's about staff utilization and how much more it helps them do their job. And it's also about what I'll call court customers. So our staff is very enthusiastic, even though we're in really tough times, which I'll get to in a second. The other thing I want to highlight is our justice partners. You remember I was very concerned in July that they would walk away. Well, they haven't walked away, but I've been doing a tap dance since July, keeping them engaged. And so, for that matter, has Chris and Ron. They've been down to San Luis Obispo. We've been, you know, over trying to convince them to stay at the table, and they're still there. But they won't be there forever, and timing is everything. We've got the sheriff, probation, and all the DA in particular, big proponents of this system. It's going to be fully integrated. we can be a model for you if you let us. So we're ready to rock and roll, but timing is everything, and they will not stay at the table if we don't get going. So that's the San Luis Obispo story. But when I was coming up on the plane, Justice Breniers talked about some of the pejoratives, and I was reading, catching up on my daily journals, and I came across the article that said that critics say that it's unnecessary and ineffective. That I think was in the daily, I don't know which daily journal because I was about 2 weeks behind, but it's there. And I think, and I want to emphasize, I can't emphasize enough that this issue, in my view, is really a lot larger than San Luis Obispo. We desperately need it. There's no question about that. And I am also from a court that can talk about the pain of shuttering a courthouse and furloughing employees, because I've had to do that this year, and it's one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. Letting go employees is the worst. Furloughing them is second worst, and I've had to do that. But I'm here to tell you that I don't think the two are fundamentally inconsistent. In other words, it's not all about doors or computers. Here's what I have to say. Like it or not, we're in the age of information. Okay, it's the age we live in. People blog, they text, they tweet. You know, if you want to stay connected with your kids in college or at home, you got to learn Facebook or something analogous to that. So the public is doing this all over the place. We are asking for the public support, for our budget for a variety of reasons. We want the public to stay connected with the judicial branch, and I think it's vital to do that. So I'm going to give you a little Bob Dylan, okay? And you're going to say, what on earth does Bob Dylan have to do with CCMS? Well, let me try and see if it makes any sense. I'm not going to sing, don't worry.
Well, Bob doesn't sing either, so.
I hope you didn't hear that, but, yeah, you're right.
And will we be able to understand you?
Not if I use my gravelly voice. Okay, so here's a little Dylan. Come gather round people wherever you roam and admit that the waters around you have grown and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing. My point is, if we don't adapt and quickly move with the changing times, the judicial system, in my view, is in danger of becoming, I'll quote the chief, a dinosaur, all right? Or you could say an anachronism, or you could say, to use legalese, irrelevant, okay? So don't let it happen. Thank you. He was supposed to bat cleanup.
Did you bring your guitar?
I did not. Good morning, Chief. Good morning. Ron, members of the council. It's great to be back in this room. Well, I'm here this morning to let you know that the Ventura Superior Court strongly supports the deployment of CCMS. We're one of the original five courts to successfully deploy the CCMS civil, probate, and mental health modules. We've been operating on that system now for almost 5 years. In addition, we've dedicated staff to participate in the CCMS design and development for the past several years. Our court's also one of the 20 or so courts that have deployed now the award-winning California Courts Protective Order Registry as well. Judge Glenn Reeser, demonstrator without portfolio, has traveled around the state, providing countless demonstrations of the CCMS to judges and lawyers and anybody that will invite him. So we have seen the promise that is CCMS and believe that it is the case management system of the future. Obviously, the budget picture is of concern to our court, both for the current fiscal year and the outlying years. The uncertainty of the budget and the financial resources are the major risks to the Ventura Superior Court's ability to successfully deploy CCMS. But understanding those risks, the court will continue to work with the council and the project management team to work through the issues necessary to undertake the deployment to the best of our ability, and that will be our commitment to the project. So thank you for the opportunity to come here this morning. It's great to see everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. As Judge Crandall's comment, I recall that a couple weeks ago I was at a national court technology conference down in Long Beach, and Mary McQueen, who's the director of the National Center for State Courts, shared a comment that how slow courts are to adopt or implement the technology tools that modern business uses. And she noted that if John Adams walked into a courthouse today, it wouldn't be all that different than it was when when he was practicing law a couple hundred years ago. And maybe there's in one way, maybe there's something reassuring about that, but it also is a fairly sad commentary on how far we have to go to bring our courts into the 21st century. We recognize that every resource in the branch is scarce at the moment. We recognize that every dollar we spend is subject to legitimate scrutiny. But as I said earlier, the question is not whether we spend money on case management systems. The question is how we spend that money on case management systems and what benefit we derive as a branch from that. We're therefore asking the council to authorize us to enter into a letter of intent with the Chan Soon Shiong Foundation and with the State Bar. And I believe council members now have draft copies of the letter of intent that will allow us to do a period of due diligence, that will allow us to move forward with our preparation for deployment, and hopefully return to the council in about 90 days with a definitive agreement for your consideration that would provide for timely early adopter deployment at dramatically reduced cost to the branch, and which will establish the critical foundation for use of CCMS across the branch. Thank you. Do we have any questions?
Yes, Justice Hull.
I want to say preliminarily that I, for one, am certainly supportive of proceeding with this letter of intent. To be candid, after hearing this debate for the year or so that I've been on the council and on its committees, it seems to me that among those who are willing to engage in an intellectually honest assessment of the efficacy and the critical need of CCMS, all agree that we need it and it works. Frankly, those who are not willing to engage in that intellectually honest discussion are, in my view, using CCMS to pursue an agenda both as to CCMS and generally that is not in the best interests of the people of California. But at this time, it certainly appears to me that the judicial branch alone cannot afford to do this. And so to the extent we're able to reach out either to the State Bar or to the foundation for additional help, I am heartily in favor of that because we have to get this system in place.
Justice Ashman Gerg.
You all heard from me yesterday about my interest in the pursuing the grant and our need to begin the due diligence process, so I won't bore you all with that again. I just want to comment on what Mike Planet had to say about Ventura and CCMS. There's an aspect we haven't talked about yet, and that's ACCMS, the Appellate Court Case Management System, that our court, the second DCA, as the pilot court, has been working with Ventura to establish the appellate e-filing piece of this. And the Court of Appeal can't do it without first having e-filing at the superior court level. And for the appellate courts, it saves time, it saves money, it provides a benefit to the justices, to the research attorneys, and most importantly to the lawyers, the litigants, and the people that we serve. It provides access to the court that is not available in any other means. So I would just support Justice Hull in going forward with this and just add that piece to it.
Thank you.
Just on behalf of the internal committee, first of all, I want to, as a matter of personal privilege, thank the support of the Ventura Court in V3 and its and being poised in relation to V4 and contribution of resources, including having Judge Reiser on the road. I mean, he came to our court, did a demonstration of V4. Many of our judges are analog judges in a digital hell, so they were incredibly impressed. And the first question, and Ron will verify this out of their mouths, was, when can we get this system? And the only issue that I have, frankly, Judge Crandall and Mike, relative to your two courts, is the fact that if both of you are up on V4, that sort of makes my humble fishing village on the Central Coast the roadkill on the information superhighway. But it's obviously a needed system. You can't speak any more eloquently than the courts that have come here before the council today. You know, under the leadership of the chief, our mantra, our commitment is to keep the courthouse doors open. And as Judge Crandall said, in the 21st century, we cannot use 20th century technology. We cannot keep the courthouse doors open without the assistance of case management systems. And to bring us into focus in terms of what the executive committee of the governance committees as well as the internal committees will request of the council. We really are at one of those crossroads. A door has opened to us. We have a remarkable confluence of vision, because this really is about vision. It's really about the long-term future of the branch and our ability to serve the public and to serve the stakeholders and the users of our court system. The vision of Dr. Soon Shiong, who immediately saw that there was a parallel between the need of healthcare providers and patients to have real-time access to healthcare information instead of having an accident out of state and having to get mailed x-rays and medical histories. The parallel with the need for trial judges, the need for litigants, and the need for lawyers and stakeholders to have immediate access to statewide case information for the protection of families and the protection of children. That vision is parallel, and he is willing to put his money where his mouth is in order to help us go forward with this effort. And then there's the confluence of the vision with the state bar, an institution that I have special affection for. Senator Dunn, who was a wonderful ally of the courts while he was a state senator, and John Streeter, our new state bar president, standing in the shoes of more than 225,000 lawyers, the largest state bar in the United States. And those lawyers who come before us and who represent children and who represent families and who are in legal services and assist self-help litigants, those lawyers are more than ready for this system. Those of us that practiced in federal court before we got on the bench, we had the PACER program, which 15 years ago, which gave us e-access, and the Central District has had e-filing for years. The final, of course, confluence of vision is the vision of this branch. I mean, I stood downstairs in the great hall when Justice Ming Chin 10 years ago talked about the future of the branch and the need and necessity to move forward with a statewide case management system. And so we have to admire and recognize that vision, the vision of legislators, the vision of governors, the vision of Ming Chin, the vision of CTAC that Justice Berniers has vice-chaired for many years in terms of moving this project forward. The insight and vision of the branch, Mark Dusman, Mark Moore, Information Services, and the Project Management Office, the courts that have contributed in terms of V3 and V2, all of the branch energy and vision to move this project forward. So we are at this crossroads now, and it seems to me that this is a remarkable opportunity, a remarkable open door, an open door that will in the future keep our courts open and available, accessible to our public and stakeholders.
And Senator Dunn is here with us this morning and can speak on behalf of the bar and the bar's support for this project.
Thank you, Justice. I think it's still morning. Good morning, everyone. And I do want to give a special thanks to many of the members around the dais today who actually have been involved over their careers with the State Bar. I won't name everybody, but in particular, of course, Judge Herman, who just spoke, and most recently, of course, Member Angela Davis, who came right from our board to the council, and it's great to see the continued interaction between the two. It is my privilege just to make a few brief comments on behalf of our president, John Streeter, and our full board. Although I'll confess I was expecting not to say anything today and sit quietly in the audience, but I'll just repeat basically what I said very quickly yesterday. The State Bar is honored to be part of this process and hopefully to reach, after the next 12 weeks, a formal agreement in which it can be a partner in this collaboration to ensure the deployment of the case management system in our California court system. As I mentioned yesterday, the primary and overwhelming driving force of our president and our board, and I hope I'm not outing her on this, the position taken when she was still on the board by Angela Davis, when addressing the question of whether the State Bar and its governing body supports the deployment of the case management system throughout California, the answer was an overwhelming yes. And as I mentioned yesterday, frankly, the discussion quickly turned to a, why aren't we already there? And I think for the council, the reasons for the legal community's overwhelming support are very clear. In this day and age, to practice law in when an L.A. lawyer no longer just has cases in L.A., but throughout not only Southern California, but probably throughout the state, whether that lawyer is in is a solo practitioner to a partner in a major international law firm, the same is true. One cannot effectively and efficiently represent their clients without having a case management system in our state judiciary. It just can't be done in today's world. And it was our president and our board that said, we want to now raise our voice to stress to all who will listen the importance of deploying a case management system in our state judiciary as quickly as possible. Secondarily, assuming success in the 12-week due diligence period, the bar has, State Bar has the possibility of a case management system in its bar court, as well as other potential IT upgrades. We look forward to those discussions going forward, assuming approval by the council today and by the State Bar Board next week. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, but thank you for giving me the unexpected opportunity to comment today.
Thank you. I believe there were some comments from Baker.
This is a question for Justice Bernier. On the agenda, this appears as approval to the two early adopter courts, but we have this sort of late-breaking development about the funding. I certainly wholeheartedly support the two implementation of the two early adopter courts, but I see these issues as two separate issues, and I'm assuming that you do, too, and that they'd be
well,
form of two separate motions, essentially.
Well, we really have one focus this morning, Judge Baker, because what we were prepared to come to the council with were specific recommendations and alternative scenarios, assuming we were going to rely entirely upon the branch funds and the Deloitte service credit. The charge was to come up with proposals that would, at least within the current year and going forward, keep us within the existing budget constraints that would not require additional commitments of funds. And those certainly were focused on the two early adopter courts because that was the maximum scope of what we thought we could do and do successfully within those budget constraints. And we had we were prepared to make recommendations on that basis. As Justice Hall noted, our ability to do this alone is certainly is going to be subject to question. The resources we have are so constrained that even if we can get started within the current fiscal year, we still don't know what we're going to face coming in the coming year. So our recommendation instead, because of the uncertainties and risks we would otherwise face, is that we pursue the grant proposal, because this will dramatically lower the costs and risks of doing this, and will allow us, in fact, to bring a third court in, the Fresno court, into this picture, and that makes far more sense. It is a collaborative effort with this foundation, with the bar. We think that has much greater promise, and both for the short and long term. And so the what we are asking action for in the council this morning is on the grant proposal. We would, in either event, be continuing to move forward, again, within the existing budget constraints, with no additional funds, with simply what we currently have, on the preparatory activities that would be required to do two courts or three courts, and that would be done concurrently with the due diligence period, the roughly 12-week due diligence period. So we would be in a position at the end of that due diligence period to either move forward with the grant proposal, assuming the council finds the definitive agreement acceptable, and that would be our primary option. Should the council for any reason find that not acceptable, then we then would fall back to the alternative proposals and would present those to the council at that time. And the council would then have to decide whether that's a commitment we are prepared to make. But I would also say that, you know, even with going forward with this grant proposal, it will require a commitment from the council and from the branch that we are prepared to move forward and to do what I think is absolutely critical for the future of the branch.
That makes sense. Thanks for the clarification.
Judge Wesley, then Judge Pines.
I thank Judge Baker for the clarification, because I had the same question. My question is this. We're not really approving a grant proposal.
No.
Are we? We are. What you're asking us to approve is a letter of intent where no party has any obligation until the 12 weeks of discussions regarding information exchanges, planning, and due diligence to determine whether there's a conflict of interest and whether this doctor has any litigation before the courts that might cause a problem. Until that's completed, you're not asking us to vote on anything.
We are not asking you to approve anything other than proceeding with the letter of intent, with the understanding in the meantime we would continue to do our preparatory activities, but we do not proceed with deployment under any alternative until this council authorizes us to do so.
Thank you.
Thank you. Judge Pines.
Well, just to follow up, as I understand it, the only action item is approval of this letter of intent, and it's clear to all of us this is a non-binding letter of intent.
That's absolutely correct.
I see the language here. It says, quote, no party has any obligation to any other party by virtue of executing this letter other than to engage in discussion, information exchange, and planning activities during the 12-week period.
That's absolutely correct.
Period. And this is what we discussed yesterday. So it's just it just expresses our interest in this proposal, but doesn't obligate it.
No,
that's my understanding.
The decision point comes when we come back to this council with a definitive agreement, assuming we can arrive at one that's acceptable to all parties, and we then come back to the council with that agreement for either acceptance or rejection.
A couple of thoughts. This is a big undertaking to really do the due diligence and to get into some meaty discussions. I'm just interested, what did you envision as the team that's representing the Judicial Council in this process? I gather the bar is going to be at the table. We're going to have someone at the table. Foundation will be there. Can you give us some idea of how this is going to be managed? And in addition, I would also suggest some kind of interim involvement by members of the council, so that you get some buy-in as it goes along in terms of ideas, rather than just coming back in 90 days out of the blue, dumping an agreement on us.
Well, at the technical level, Mark Moore and his staff already have been working with Dr. Sunshun's technical staff, and will continue to do so. at the administrative level. I have been involved. Judge Herman has more recently been involved. We will continue to be. The last meeting we had on October 5th not only included bar leadership, but Judge Herman and I attended. Justice Miller attended as chair not only of the Justice Partner Advisory Committee, but his role as chair of ENP. Justice Ashman Gerst was there. So we had members from the council who were present at the meeting, who will continue to be involved. And, of course, Ron Overholt, as administrative director, is directly involved in these discussions and negotiations. So,
but, Judge Pines, the internal committee will be involved throughout the process. I mean, so...
Yeah, that's sort of the lead group that's on behalf of the council?
Well, the CCMS internal committee.
Okay.
So our committee.
And I gather our lawyers are going to be involved in this as well.
And already have been.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just trying to get an idea of the structure.
Sure.
We have an idea of what's going on, what's going to go on in the next 90 days and how this is
going to
be.
And I think we're going to have a meeting near term in terms of what the timeline is going to look like, what the hit points are going to be in terms of that timeline and in terms of developing that the approach to the due diligence.
Judge Rosenberg and then Justice Miller.
I don't know whether during this 12-week period a successful product will emerge, but it's certainly worth that effort, and I'm very hopeful that a successful product will emerge after the 12 weeks of due diligence. I think the public in general wants government to be creative and innovative and think outside the box, particularly in these difficult times. This sort of, I'll use the term loosely, venture or partnership is definitely thinking outside the box. It is creative. It is innovative. And speaking as a trial court judge and as a presiding judge, I think the overwhelming majority of trial court judges understand and recognize that we must start living in the 21st century. I think even John Adams would recognize it, and that we have to move forward and develop a uniform case management system. So I hope and trust the council will support this due diligence period, and I hope there's a fine product at the end of it.
Justice Miller, then Judge Moss, then Justice Ashman first.
I would like to make a motion at this time that the council authorize the interim administrative director to sign the letter of intent that all of those decisions and authorizations which the council made at the July meeting stay intact, involving the continuing expenditures of the $14.2 million in the manner which you've indicated and the retention of the $16 million in its current status as not being available during this interim time, that the council and all of the appropriate staff will conduct their due diligence during this 12-week period, and that then you will return back to us with a final information with regards to your conclusions and recommendations with alternatives and options.
Second.
Second by Edith Mathien. Who else second? Judge Herman and Judge Moss, you wish to be heard.
Can I have a point of
clarification? I was going to make the same motion, that's all.
Okay, thank you. And then
just
I saw...
a point of clarification, if that's correct.
I'll have to check my pocket.
Check your Rosenberg rules. What about that $16
million? The $16 million of the service credit will not be available during this time, as we indicated in July.
Okay.
Justice Gerst.
Just to clarify for anyone who questioned this, part of the due diligence during this period will be to check and be sure that there are no conflicts with the court system.
Thank you. I think I said, Judge Kim, I know were you interested in comments?
I wanted to give Judge Pine some assurances that the CCMS internal committee, which is comprised of judicial council members, and I am one of them, I'll speak for those members, if I can be so bold as to say that we take that responsibility very, very seriously and certainly expect to have regular check-in during the due diligence period and to help in whatever way we can to ensure that the process is, you know, full and comprehensive and gives us a very, very good report after the 12 weeks. And so the notion that we would, you know, go forward and, you know, 90 days later would just get a report, I think, is not at all what I would see happening over the course of the next 90 days. I know I can't recall how many people are on that committee, maybe seven or eight council members, but Judge Herman chairs it, and we intend to be extremely involved.
Thank you. Judge Friedman.
What, besides checking on conflicts of interest, would be within the scope of the due diligence that we will be embarking on?
Mark, you want to talk about that? So there's an awful lot of technical aspects of the proposal that we have to vet, because they're going to provide, through the Chan Sung Foundation, access to technical resources, data center hosting resources, the National Lambda Rail Network, as well as project management, handoffs, various responsibilities. So it's really a full in-depth review of all aspects of the engagement, and we will, as you pointed out, we'll be coming out with all the project-related documentation, project charter. We'd be standing up an executive committee. We would be coming up with what the success criteria of the project was, what the scope was. We've got an awful lot of information on two of the three courts from pre-deployment activities. We'll be doing similar types of activities around Fresno Court, coming up with detailed project plans, detailed budgets, not only for the first year, but for the remaining years required to get to completion, so everybody understands what's going to be required to be successful at the end of that, and also key metrics to measure the success against criteria after we complete. So we should become, and this is where the internal committee's thoughts are going to be very helpful. We need to decide what success means before we start, so that when we measure this as the first three courts, how do we want to move together, either in a greater partnership by ourselves or move forward with CCMS at all? And so that's everything we'll be doing in those 12 weeks.
And Chief.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
On the other side of the coin, of course, is the legal transactional pieces, including how we protect our intellectual property, the basic punch list from a legal perspective in terms of documentation. Documentation go forward, and as far as CCMS internal involvement, Monday or Tuesday I will be sending out availability so that we can meet on at least a biweekly basis to start out with, and probably in shorter periods as we approach the 90 days. I have found as chair of the committee that it has been extremely useful to participate in the weekly Deloitte briefings on the project, on the progress of development and of the project. So I think to keep Judge Pines, the internal committee, on a continuous basis in contact with the progress of due diligence is important. Can I
follow Alan up? Carlson.
I'm waffling. Right now it says here that the three parties are the State Bar, the Foundation, and the AOC, and I'm thinking it should say the Judiciary or the Judicial Council, not the AOC. It's a quibble, but and it's in a couple places in the document, but
I don't mind taking that as a friendly amendment to my motion that we amend
we'll
that.
Add, as an addition, Judicial Council and the AOC?
I think it's the Judiciary that
Judicial Council.
That, yeah. The AOC is just our staff.
So you're
a good staff, but they're just staff.
So that is delete on line one. AOC, just indicate Judicial Council.
And then, Judge Pines, I just wanted to follow up on what Judge Herman indicated, that we already have been working with our own staff through our legal office, and then we intend, as I understand it, to consult with outside legal counsel also.
Very good.
Okay. Any other discussion on the matter? Judge Wesley.
Do we have a legal opinion? Here's what troubles me. Dr. Shung has a lot of different entities and has had litigation, at least I know because I got an email, on my court. As a member of the council, I haven't done a due diligence on my court to determine if any of his companies have litigation before my court. How then, I'm still a judge, even though I'm a member of the council, how then do I sign on to a letter of intent as a member of the council to negotiate with somebody that may have a conflict of interest with me. Because I have not done a due diligence on my court. And I don't know all of the companies and related companies, and I would want to know that before I mean, as an ethical obligation, as a judge, I cannot have a conflict of interest. And I don't know. I think the due diligence that we're talking about later doesn't answer my question for today.
But you're not the judge in that case.
Well,
yeah.
So can I
may not be the judge in the case, but I am the assistant presiding judge in the court, which creates a problem for me.
So can I ask Mary Roberts to kind of help you in that answer and give some information to us?
And I'm sorry, I was actually talking and not listening 100%, Judge Wesley, to your comments. I apologize. But a couple comments first with regard to the parties to this particular letter of intent. It would be my strong recommendation that it remain as is with the Administrative Office of the Courts as the staff agency to the Judicial Council, that we be the party to be involved in this collaborative effort with the State Bar and the Foundation, because the outcome of that process will be proposals that will come back to you as the council. So I think that would be the preferred approach. And I also think by doing it that way, that would provide a good step back from the actual involvement in the discussions and the negotiations and the development of the plan that you as members of the council ought not to be involved in, and that may help address the concerns raised about judicial officers' involvement.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary.
So can I remove that amendment?
A friendly amendment back.
So we're back with the original language, but let me ask Angela Davis has a question.
Judge Wesley raises a question that's related to something that I've been thinking about as we've listened to this proposal that we've only learned about yesterday, and that is that even though it's a foundation that will be making the grant or potentially will be making a grant, Dr. Shuncheng is of course involved in a heavily regulated industry. And an industry that is not infrequently in litigation. And I'm also concerned, and I think as part of this due diligence inquiry, I would just like some briefing from general counsel as to what the implications are going forward and how the judiciary and the council are protected from all the hypotheticals that we can easily think of right now by taking this kind of a grant from a foundation that is so closely related to entities that are involved in litigation and are heavily regulated.
Chief Justice. Are there other comments or hands raised?
In response.
Fines, let me call on Mary Roberts.
Just to respond to the council members' comments, that analysis would be part of what would come back to the council at the end of the 12-week period.
Judge Pine.
That's what I was going to say. Okay. That's the whole idea of the due diligence, to see what problems there are, what conflicts. I mean, maybe this is a non-starter, but we don't know now. It's something that will be developed through the process.
Yeah. Well, there's a motion on the table. It's been seconded.
Call the question.
Further comment? I hear a call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
You want to abstain?
I'd abstain.
One abstention. Matter passes. I also would like to thank Judge Crandall and Michael Planet, as well as Justice Breniers, Judge Herman, Mark Moore, and Senator Dunn for presenting and being here today. Thank you. Okay, I'm thinking we're going to take lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Take lunch because our others are going to take a while. So we're going to stand in recess for lunch. It's 12:15. It is a 30-minute lunch. So we'll see you back here to take over our last two items at 12:45. Thank you. Okay.